Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the ride.
Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs,
Chefs. Yes, Lord, we got a brand new president. What? Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of me.
Come on,
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Yes, 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 Sports City, we are in the building. Another Wednesday, hump day, I guess you can call it, September 13th. This is the Caller's Cookout. I am the host, the villain himself, Barry, here with you for the next, we'll see how long we'll cook it tonight. We might get some dishes thrown around here, but, you know, we do good things around here. Shout out to our sponsors, PHI Apparel. Get to their website, phiapparel.co. Use the promo code CHEF. Get 15% off that order. That is phiapparel.co. Use that promo code CHEFs. Got to pay the bills. But call the number, as always, 929-477-2759. The villain is here. I don't do this alone. Excuse me. Every good hero needs a villain. Every good villain needs a hero. I got the best hero in the world. The main man, the head honcho himself, the guy that pays the bills, man large and in charge, the timeless wonder, timeless one, TP Timeless. What's going on, TP?
Yes, 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 Sports City. I done took off the blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped outside the kitchen. Timeless is alive. Yes, yes, yes. Y'all thought it was over yesterday? Well, I'm back, motherfuckers. I'm not playing around. I done took this blazer off for real. I'm not playing around. They thought it was chill in New York. They thought it was chill in New Jersey. I'm back for more. That girl is about to get it. There's so many things going on in the world, but I'm ready. I'm so focused. I feel like Jay-Z and Maya. I'm focused, man. Tell the villain to holler at me, man. Young Timeless, you heard?
We have Timeless. We here. Oh, it's been a crazy day. What a crap day. But we here. We in the building. You know, last 2 days have been pretty annoying, stressful.
Are you okay? No, I just got to ask. Let me check on you. I got to check on you. Are you okay? I got to check on my boy, my buddy.
So,
are you okay?
So,
that's my question.
No. So, I mean, like, yesterday I lost power like 2 times. And then today I lost power again while I'm trying to work. My son's bus was late for school. I had to go to the doctor because I have things going on, and that was a nightmare. Just getting blood drawn. It was like blood from a stone.
Right, but no. Like I don't know if it's like really health wise or if it's still like a Nike footprint up your behind. That's all. I just want to make sure
it
you
was
okay. Okay. That's all. I just want to make sure because I gotta check on you. You know what I'm saying? Because it ain't been looking good in New York City. And I know that you like a lot of teams in New York City. You got a lot of baseball teams in New York City. You got a lot of football teams in New York City.
They won 3 straight. They won.
That's what I'm saying.
I was kind of perturbed that you found time on a busy Sunday during the opening week of football to inform me that the Yankees were getting no hit. And then they actually won the game, and I didn't hear about the game again. That was weird. But anyway,
no,
Yankees won.
To talk about
we swept the doubleheader last night, and, you know, it's a rain delay. I think it's rain out tonight. But I didn't hear anything from you about
that. Great,
that's
great.
Weird.
No wonder. Wonderful. We can talk baseball. Do you want to talk baseball with me? Yes or no?
No, we can talk baseball. I mean, I don't mind. Listen, this is the cookout.
Fine.
Everybody comes with a plate. People come with hot dogs and hamburgers. Some people come with steaks and ribs and all that kind of stuff. Pulled pork, you know, bring whatever you want. But let me get the other host in here. Let me get the other,
okay,
other guys in here. He's a New York hater. He's basking in the glow of New York sports struggling right now. It's not like he wants to talk sports and baseball. He just likes saying,
what?
And hate is
what?
A disease. We're gonna cure the disease. We're gonna cure him.
Oh, that's
hold
on. How many times on this network, how many times in my face that you would claim to me and say, Ty, I'm a hater? How many times have you told me that, Barry?
Yes, I am. I openly admit that. But see, you don't come to terms with who you are. You are a New York sports hater. And you kind of do it with a sly grin, with a little smile on your face. You know, I openly tell people I hate the Cowboys. I hate the Eagles. I'll let people know. Like, you know, I hate Syracuse. You know what I mean? Like,
you're telling on yourself right now. Watch this. Watch this, Sports City. I'm going to make him tell on himself right now, Sports City. Barry,
okay.
Do you hate the Twins? Do you hate the Twins?
No.
Do you hate the Lions? Do you hate the Lions?
Dude, I was given the Lions love all offseason.
Sports City.
No.
Sports City, I want y'all to vibe with me. You know, right? No, right?
Okay.
So do you hate the Thunder? So obviously you hate me.
Oh, I need you to take that back because, you know, that you don't want to put that energy out there. I don't hate you. Stop that. I don't
Barry,
hate you.
Barry, I just named all of my teams. You do not hate them for no specific reason, but in my face, in front of our friends at parties, you admit to me you are a hater to my face. What else is there to prove?
What do you mean? Wait, what do you mean?
Introduce everybody else. We'll get to it. Don't you worry. You get everybody back in this kitchen. You get everybody in this kitchen.
They know that the villain and the timeless one, the hero, need to get this out. They're there. Sirius and Mike, we see you. We'll get to you in a second. Can you say that again? I go to
friends. Okay. Why would you admit to me specifically that you're a hater, but you don't hate any of my teams at all for no specific reason? But to my face, at Cubetta Stadium when we was little, all of this, football games, no matter what, that's why you laughing.
Wow.
This is a fact. That's what in my mind. You stop me.
He's put it in the way back machine. Like, this is, we're talking when the Thunder were in Seattle.
If you want me to
right?
work. If you want me
the
to
Twins
work,
played
I will
in the Homer
you.
Dome. Like, he's going way
dig.
Back. He's going
I
way
dig,
back.
Bro.
Like, the Lions were in the Superdome. You remember the Superdome,
right.
Boys and Girls?
And Barry was around. Ask serious. That's what Barry was around. So don't listen, Sports City.
I never hated on you, but for Barry.
Sports City, you guys are getting it wrong.
This is
the wrong.
This is the problem, Sports City. TP Timeless is my brother, but he has never forgiven me for stealing all his sacks freshman year. I used to get up the middle and get right to the quarterback. TP would get double teamed, fight through the double team, have the quarterback right in his sight, and I would steal his sack. And he's not
TP,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
You don't have to be sorry. You want to tell that story? You don't have to be sorry. Sports City, he won't even tell you till now. It's 2023. He won't even thank me for that. Look, he just thinks that's how it's going to come. He knows how to fight the world. That's why they call him the times when a guy to fight the world for them.
I was doing nothing, and I was just stealing your glory. Like, I wasn't fighting for a sack and fighting for tackles.
I'm fighting the world. I'm fighting the world. Yes or no?
But see, you wanted to take my shine. I recovered the fumble against West Hill, and you still haven't forgiven me. But I didn't do anything wrong. I was playing football. I didn't do anything wrong.
Four City, this is so bad that he's bringing this type of stuff up. I had to literally carry a whole football team on my back. Literally had all 11 players on my back. Literally. And ran another 4 yards. Ask me if I'm lying. I had to fight the world. Am I lying?
No, listen. I never said that you weren't, but you try to make it look like I had nobody blocking. Listen, TP Timeless made a kid quit in the middle of a game. And ever since then, his ego shot through the roof. This is when Timeless was born, when he made that kid quit by knocking him on his backside. The kid got an interception. And the kid ran down the sideline at the 1 yard line. I'm almost about to, and then I see this body flying and laid the kid out, made the kid quit, and that was the birth of Timeless. That's when it happened because his ego shot through the. Like the kid literally took his pads off, ripped his jersey off, and said, "I'm sick of this," and quit. Like right there, quit. I kid you not. It was hilarious, but like that's when Timeless was born. That's when it happened.
Give it to the people.
Call it out of the 703, man. It is serious. I'm serious.
You know, here's the thing, man. See, this is why barbershops were invented, and you know, kitchen tables were invented. Who needs therapy, man? Y'all just come in here and just air this joint out, sing Kumbaya, smoke a cigar, drink some Hennessy, and do the damn thing, because this is what the world needs right now. This is what the world needs right now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Two brothers airing out their grievances about stuff that happened 25 years ago, you know what I'm saying? So somebody has some residual stuff to get off their chest, you know what I'm saying? So this is growth. I'm proud of both you gentlemen. Congratulations.
Yes, absolutely. Diana Ross couldn't say any better. What the world needs now is love, sweet love.
I'm thankful, but y'all, as long as you know, look, Sirius don't like me or hate me too because of my football team. He don't like the Lions or it's me. Something has to give, right? Right. So, and then look. At least I see the line. You know what I'm saying? I was taught to love people. You know what I'm saying? Till they show me their cards. You see what I'm saying? And for some strange reason, I showed a love to Barry Moore because Mr. Jordan was like my second father. You know, every time I got out of practice, this dude would bear hug me or put me in a chokehold and laugh, and then we would laugh for like hours. Barry know how this go. This is an everyday thing. You know what I'm saying? So it's like I love that. You know what I'm saying? But then I tried to draw a line because then he tried to really try to say, oh, he's a hater like me. I'm the one when you literally would do this in front of my city, my family, our families. Like, there's no way you could put me in that cloud. Never in your life. Never. I mean, that's a pig pen cloud from Peanuts Gang. Don't you ever in your life. So now I know. That's what I'm talking about.
But you love being New York suffering. You love it. You do. Like, you smile. You have a little smile on it. You know what I mean? Like, you do.
It's not hatred.
Like, cause it. Let me get Mike in. Mike in the building. Call out of 615. What's up, Mr. Harvey?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? I'm gonna give you guys an example. First of all, everything that Sirius just said, I agree with all that. But I'm gonna give you an example of how two things can be true. TP, who's your favorite hockey team?
The New York Rangers.
So he can't really be a complete. Wait, hold on. He can't be a complete New York sports team hater if he likes one of those teams in one of the major sports. So
then he must hate me. Then he must hate me.
I said two things can be true at the same time. Now, unfortunately for Timeless, unfortunately for you, Villain, your favorite baseball team just somehow by hook or crook or whatever happened to get the best of his every time they meet in the postseason. And so, listen, anytime it happens to my team in the postseason and our season gets ended at the hands of another team, I hate them too. I still hate the Phillies today for 1993. And they beat them again last year. I hate Toronto today, the Blue Jays. But the only team that I root for less in the East than the Blue Jays is the Yankees. Because of the Jim Leyritz home run in 1996. I hate the Yankees. I really do. I've never hated a team. I hate the Yankees worse than the Celtics.
Wow.
And so my point is that's a deep hate. And listen, they're both 1A and 1B. Like, they're both like the Bunsen burner is going to turn up as high as it can possibly go to burn these fuckers. I mean, to burn these guys up. My bad. Bad language on the show. I'm sorry to Mama Jordan, who doesn't like it when you curse. And so I don't want to be a bad influence and all this. But thanks for having me, guys. We got a lot of work to get to, but always a pleasure. And real quick, even though. We'll have to see what happens come October, but it is exciting. It was it's just a formality, but as of right now, just a few minutes ago on September 13th, 2023, the Atlanta Braves have clinched their sixth straight division title and are NL East champions.
Congratulations, the Braves. I mean, I think Olsen's got like 51 home runs, I think it is. He's
51. He's tied. He tied Andrew for the franchise lead.
Right, yeah, here. I mean, like, if it wasn't for his teammate, I would think he's an MVP candidate, because Acuna is my guy, man. He's got to be the MVP. He's phenomenal. He's so exciting to watch. But we'll see. It's going to be a lot of fun. Wow. I needed this, TP. I needed this, man. You know what I mean? Like, I love you, man. I love you, brother.
Listen, in the words of Bob Marley, don't let him fool ya. Don't let him fool you, okay? He showed Mike some grass. We talk about Acuna. I love him. He's a good player, so on and so forth. None of my players do good. We don't hear him say that to me about none of my players. None of my players. I got to fight
That's a lie. Forever.
Whenever somebody goes there, he don't give me that. Serious? He don't never bring me no flowers for none of my
serious?
Players. None of them. Never. Man, one.
Up the Lions all off season. Who was saying that this team is dangerous and is going to win the division? Who said that, serious?
I remember saying something about that. I mean, I remember TP saying it. I'm trying to pull on when you I'm drawing a blank, so I'm trying to write my back.
Don't do that. See, now you're feeding into it. You're trying to make brain.
I told you.
Don't make me pull the tape. I will pull the tape. I will post it to TikTok. I will tag you.
I need winners. I can't win with
you know
them.
What?
I need one.
I can't do this, people. I tried.
You do,
because
you're smiling. Can you smile? Look at him smile, Fortuny.
He's smiling.
I know that boy so good. He's smiling like Buckley on a good day. He's smiling.
You can't see through the mask, but I'm hurt right now, because everybody is lying. The villain.
Child, please. Chad Ocho, single child, please. He's smiling like Buckley on a good day.
Oh, my goodness. This is horrible. Unbelievable.
That part.
Listen, if people don't want to believe me, if they want to lie, I can't fight it. You know what I mean? I just I just tell my truth and I move on. So I told my truth. I did nothing but big up.
Can I say something real quick?
I would prefer if you say something, it's the truth. I mean,
you know what? Your truth and the actual truth may not be one and the same, but I do applaud you for sticking up for your truth. I do applaud you for that. That's great.
That's awful. I don't know what I did here. Maybe it's my personality. Maybe it's my the way I host. Maybe it's my teams or something. But Sirius hates me. He hates me.
Oh, my God. Look at this. Sirius, look. What's this? I mean, look.
Sirius will call me. Sirius will call me and holler at me, you know what I mean? Like, you know, we have a relationship. We have a bond. But then when we get on the show, it flips. He doesn't tell the truth, people. He doesn't tell the truth.
Let me get that. That's your truth again, too, right? That's your truth.
I hear them both say how much they can't stand each other out of fun on Tuesday night. So when we do the football show, so I will attest. It goes both ways, though. It goes both ways.
Mike, come on, Mike. You know I bigged up the Lions this offseason. I said they're a good team. They're going to win that.
No, that is a fact.
Mike, come on.
That is a fact.
Thank you. So serious. Why would you lie? You're a preacher's child. You play the drums for your choir. Like, why would you lie? That's one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not lie.
Of our host and telling you now you've heard this before, but for those of you that didn't know, now you know that these two guys play football together and Barry sold his sax, and now you know that Sirius plays drums for the choir and is a preacher's son. There was a song about the son of a preacher man, so we let you guys know a little bit more about what's behind the scenes.
Yeah, it goes very far, but you know, it hurts. It hurts, guys. It really does. But listen. Let's talk, man. I got two words to tell you.
Don't reject me. Don't reject me. Tell him. Serious. Another song. I got another song for you. Listen, two words. In the words of Juvenile, you understand, okay? You understand.
You understand?
You understand. Be quiet. Tonight is the night that we ride. Dirt, camouflage, lovers with hummers and sigh. With doctors doing searches for young bodies like they doctors. Be quiet. Yeah, that's it. G cool.
It's all good. It's all good. Listen, let's cook, boys. So a lot of news coming out in the NBA. I want to do a little bit of NBA, and then we're gonna switch to some football. I mean, we did a good amount of football yesterday, but I want to talk a little NBA. So the Board of Governors in the NBA unanimously voted to approve a tougher testing, a tough arresting policy against players that, you know, load manage basically and sit out games. This is really applicable to star players. So this is, they're calling star players anyone that's been an all-star in the last three seasons or has been voted all-NBA the last three seasons. It affects 25 teams and 50 players at this current juncture. You know, we're talking about a possibly fines for the team up to more than $1 million for any violation of this protocol. That they're saying two stars can't rest in the team. So they're trying to, obviously, listen, there's TV deals on the line. They're trying to negotiate deals. They have this in-season tournament and national TV games and stuff. They need a product out there that people want to watch, and the load management is enough. So, TP, I don't know, this came out this afternoon. I don't know if you've, you know, heard anything about it, read into it or anything, but what do you think about Adam Silver coming up with this player participation policy?
This is a very quick and easy topic. So good that you got this out there so we can show how we feel toward it. Well, it won't be, to me, I don't feel like much time will be spent on it. This is good. Like, I feel like now that the players will be there. But the one thing is, like, I feel like they're going to start griping that, you know, they're focused on me. Oh, I'm the big name on the team, so on and so forth. And it's good because it's like, don't sit there and feel like you get to sit out while a lot of the hard-earned fans that are putting their money into the game are missing your performance. And that could be the one time in the year they get to see you or the only time that they have tickets available. There's a lot of that goes into it. So I think that this is rather good. And, you know, they made it this way. The players made it this way that the execs had to make this type of decision to get this to work in the favor of us, the fans, the viewers, like, instead of, you know, benefiting you guys. So I think this is a good deal to get them to play. It's nothing. You don't lose money if you play. Like, as long if you are showing that you aren't hurt or injured, like, you're okay, you get into the, you know, the whirlpool or, you know, take an ice bath or whatever you need to do, then do it. If you're not injured significantly, then you should be able to play. So it's good on Adam Silver that he's getting to do this kind of, like, you know, harmlessly. So let's see if it works and, you know, see people participate, and hopefully it doesn't change. And honestly, when they do the load management, to me, this is within my mindset. It could probably piss people off, but they're ruining the integrity of the game, to be honest. Like, teams that go, you know, 42-40 and, you know, 45-37, like, those records could be better if their star players are playing. So this helps. So I think this is a good thing to me.
No, I absolutely agree. And you hit it right on the head. There's no penalty. Like, they don't lose a game check if they don't play. You know what I mean? So that's one of the big issues, right? Like, they can sit out a game, but they still get paid. Like, I don't get, you know, I put in vacation time, I get, you know, paid. But if I just don't show up to work, you know what I mean? I don't get paid. You know what I'm saying? So it's crazy. Darius, talk to me real quick about this player participation policy.
You know, it's funny you guys both share the same sentiment. I actually disagree with you both. And here's why. I think on the surface, I understand what Adam Silver is trying to get accomplished. But in the grand scheme of things, these are human beings. These are people. And to try to run them as if they are robots without, you know, them having complete autonomy and freedom to, you know, take a PTO day, like Barry alluded to, or take a day off, you know, take a game off or whatever the case may be to you know, better themselves or better, you know, them being able to be available long term, I think is the wrong approach. Now, again, I understand that, you know, little Johnny, you know, buy tickets to a Laker, you know, Celtics game, and it's going to suck if, you know, LeBron James and Jason Tatum, you know, are load managing. But at the end of the day, they're people and they're human too. You know, they put in a piece of paper and submitted their paperwork to have a PTO day just like the four of us here do. So, again, I understand it. And the thing is, like, I don't want to say to rebut TP's point, you know, the NBA is the second highest grossing, you know, sports thing in the world. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like that the NBA is hurting for money. You know, these stars and these athletes have endorsements out the wazoo. So it's not like they're hurting their bottom line. I understand what they're trying to get accomplished. I just think they may need to go about it doing it differently because I just – The way it's currently written out and presented, it just makes it seem like the players completely lose control of their ability to, you know, take a day off and rest. And then, you know what I'm saying, you want to talk about, you know, mental health and you know, stand up against, you know, this social injustice and that thing, you know, and the biggest push towards that is the ability to choose and the ability to have that freedom to not be forced to do something or be forced to check a box or be forced to, you know, fill in the blank. So, again, I think it's a really, really, really murky slope that the NBA is trying to go down in an effort to catch another buck. which I don't think the NBA really needs.
Well, I don't know if it's to catch a buck more so than to make sure that people want to invest in. They got TV deals that they're trying to sell. You want to sell Lakers, Celtics, you want to sell LeBron and Anthony Davis versus Tatum and Brown. If you don't have those guys there because they're, load managing, then what are you selling? Why would I watch that game? Ratings go down, then why would a network want to pay for your product, to put it on the air? Because they pay for the product so that, they can get advertisers that, want to, advertise during that game. It's all the money, right? You got to follow the dollars. And I feel like if you're legitimately hurt, then yeah, you don't have to play. But if you're not hurt, you're just not playing because you played the night before. I don't buy into that. I feel like that's wrong. It's, you have no reason to play other than you might get hurt. Well, you might get hurt walking out your building. You know what I mean? One of my favorite lines in the movie Heat by Al Pacino is that you get shot walking your doggy. You can just walk outside and get shot. Right. It don't matter. You know what I mean? So, go ahead, Sirius, real quick.
Well, let me ask you this question then, and we can pass it around. We can pass it around real quick.
I want to respond to what you said, too, after you asked this question.
Hold on, Mike.
Okay, so, here's my question. We all have 9-to-5 jobs ourselves, right? And so when we submit our PTO to take, the kids to the music park, or when we submit our PTO to go on family vacation, or when CP puts his PTO in to go to Vegas in December, his job's not going to come to him to be like, you don't deserve this time away because, we got a TV deal that we're trying to close. You don't deserve this time away because we got XYZ to fill in, to do. You earned your time. You earned the right to be able to, put in for your PTO and put in for your time to go away and do whatever you need to do with your friends, family, or whatever. And the NBA, I could take it broader, professional athletes, in my opinion, deserve the right and deserve the ability to go up to their boss, to go up to their employer, like, hey, I need a day. I need a minute to get myself together. I need a minute. I just played in triple overtime, 24 hours ago, and you want me to come back out here the very next day and redo that. Give me a day. Give me a day. We're playing popcorn you here. Give me a day. Now, again, if it's a marquee matchup, I can kind of see your point. But if the Lakers are playing, the Washington Wizards, they should be able to win that without LeBron James.
Yeah, but I'm gonna bring you right in. But your argument is valid if they were not there. They're taking a PTO day in the office. They're sitting courtside in a suit at the game, not playing. They're not home with their family or in, Lake Tahoe or, Bahamas or somewhere. They're right there. The only reason they're not playing is because they don't want to play. They need a break. But they're there at the game. They're not PTO. I'm not working. I'm not in an office. You know what I'm saying? Like, their PTO, they're sitting right there and on the court side. So that's where the argument difference
is. If they were in Lake Tahoe, though.
But they're not. They're right there. They go through the walkthroughs. They're in the meetings. Shoot around, but then they don't show up and play. So they're at work, but they're not working. That's not. I need a day. You're in the building. You're right there. That's not I need a day. They're just not playing so they don't get hurt. That's all they're doing. Mike, go ahead.
So here's the thing, though. I think it is a good thing in that, once again, they're saying that they want you to take them as often as you can at home versus on the road, too, because if you're a marketable guy, that may be, certain cities may be marketing you coming into that area. But nobody's saying that you can't take a day. Nobody's saying that. What they're saying is they want a minimum of 65 games to be eligible for postseason awards. And they're saying that you can't have two stars rest on the same night.
Right.
They're saying, so this is the same concept of, to answer, to follow it up with the answer to your question. If I submit a PTO request, more times than not, it's going to get approved, but they do have the option to decline it. We're going to be, this is our rush time. We can't afford to have people not here during this time. They do still have to, whatever the business is, they still have work that needs to be done. So, for example, if I put in, they're going to figure out how to cover my shift. And then when they got that covered, they're going to come back and say, yeah, you're good. Go ahead. It just depends on what kind of business we're in. So nobody's saying that you can't take a day. Nobody's saying that you can't take a couple of days if you need them. What we're saying, all that they're saying is, we're just going to make sure that one team is not pulling like a Popovich and sitting everybody. Or that you're still going to see, even if you don't see this star, you're still going to get to see this star if you turn this game on TV or you go to see this team play. So people are not being completely restricted and saying, no, you can't ever take a day off. We expect you to be robots. We're just saying, they're just saying you can't sit all your stars at the same time, and you have to at least put one of them out on the court. And so at the end of the day, I understand that sometimes timing may not line up, but that's, at the end of the day, that's what's being said here. So they just got to make sure the shift gets covered at the end of the day. But what I'm curious to see, and I'm curious to see if this means that there's going to have to be another rule designated, but if they list a person as out because of a sore toe or a twitchy eye or, you know, any kind of minor nagging injury, then does that count? And or are they going to institute something that says if you got to go on the injured list, for example, like baseball, you have to go on the injured list for 7 days for a concussion or 10 days or whatever it is, but you have to go on and be out for that amount of time. So I wonder if that's going to be the case, because if you can implement the load management all you want, but teams can get around that by saying sore ankle or sore hamstring or groin injury or whatever they want to say, and this be a reason, so we might be missing two stars. One of them is a healthy scratch, and so maybe the other one's not, and they you know, as put a fake an injury there. So I wonder what happens with that, and if teams are trying to find like loopholes around that, and or is there anything the league can do to close those if that happens to be something that doesn't work? I think you try it like this for a while and see how things pan out, and then you revisit.
I'm gonna shoot you straight. If I'm a head coach and if I'm a GM, I'm doing exactly what you just mentioned.
What's that?
Because I'm calling it a twitchy eye. I'm calling it a hurt pinky toe.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of the day, my job is to literally get my best squad together for the NBA Finals. The NBA Finals run. That is my job. You know what I'm saying? And so if I have to rob Peter to pay Paul to make sure that my quote-unquote stars are able to play for the postseason, there's going to be a lot of hurt pinky toes. There's going to be a lot of twitchy eyes. There's going to be a lot of jammed fingers and shoot around this morning. There's going to be a lot of it. Because at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying, my job is to get ready for the NBA Finals. Like, Paul Pierce and Kawhi Leonard have been low managing for the past 4 years and ain't got nothing to throw for it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, like,
Paul
it
Pierce?
Is what it is, man. It is what it is. Not
no,
Paul Pierce, Paul
George.
George.
Yeah, I mean, but
I see
at honestly, it's a business, man. It's a business, man. Like, not like Jay-Z said, I'm a businessman. You know, like, they have to make money. Like, if nobody wants to, if nobody watches their product, you know, if they don't get the ratings because, or they don't get people in the seats because they find out somebody was load managing, Like, they don't make money. Like, these salaries keep going up exponentially. Like, how much did Anthony Davis just ink a 3-year extension for? Like, what, almost $60 million a year? Like, you don't get those kind of salaries. That his salary was what the salary cap used to be years ago. You know what I mean? Like, you don't get that salary if you don't sell the league. You can't sell the league without TV deals. You don't get TV deals if nobody wants to watch your product because, you know, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson decided to load manage that one night. You know what I mean? Like, it's a business. TP, clean it up for me, brother. I know you're patiently waiting like Eminem and 50. So, you know, what do you think about what
good thing you said Eminem. Everybody from the 313, I'll leave it alone. You already know how the rest of that song go. No, but, I mean, at the end of the day, it's good for the sport, whether they like it or not. And it's like what we all got to deal with on a day-by-day basis, whether at our job and our supervisors give us a rule and we got to deal with it. At least we know at the end of the day that it's, you know, something that we don't like, but it benefits the company at the end of the day. And, it is putting food on their table. It is keeping a roof over their head, so on and so forth. And they got to go with the flow at the end of the day. I get it that, you know, their vacations aren't promised, but they know they signed up for an 82-game season. There's not going to be no vacation day that they're going to take. And I get it. If they really want to load manage, then get dressed, sit on the sideline, tell coach to put you in 2 minutes a quarter. Like, do something like that. Just run up and down the court a couple of times, and that's that. Like, at least they get to see you. And if that's how you want to blow the game, then blow the game. But that's what it's looking like. You're looking like you're giving up on your team. At the end of the day, the 15 of you guys that are in that locker room trying to get to the goal of bringing back the O'Brien, and you can't because you're a 6 seed in the West, and it's guns outside. And what you going to do? Like, you came there with a knife. Like, so I get it. So that's my last little twist on it, and we could move on.
Right. I mean,
hey, yo,
for me, I won't. Yeah, go ahead, real quick.
The NBA currently, as we sit here right now, is worth $90 billion. I just looked it up. $90 billion. So it's really not like the league is hurting for fun, as if the league will make you believe. The league is worth $90 billion.
What was it worth like 5-10 years ago? At the end of the day, it's about growth. It's about growth. It's about
No, you don't want to stay at 90, but at the end of the day, I am a firm believer. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know what I'm saying? LeBron James,
okay.
Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, the stars that fans want to come see have complete access to them, which makes them marketable. You know what I'm saying? LeBron James comes out with a different shoe every month. He's on commercials and doing this, that, and the third. Steph Curry is selling Subway sandwiches and CarMax commercials with Sue Bird right now. You know what I'm saying? Kawhi Leonard,
right.
The brother who kind of instituted this whole load management BS to begin with, has his own New Balance shoe and is selling Cadillacs and this, that, and the third. So, again, the stars in the NBA is not hurting as if it will make you to believe. I will say this, and then we can shut up and move on.
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with that has nothing to do with participating.
Right.
What do you mean? What do you mean to do with participating?
But
endorsement money has nothing to do with them being on the floor. Think about this. They just said something the other day about how NBA is being more global than any other sport out there. And picture people coming here from China, Germany, where Luca from. Lithuania or something, and they can't come out there and see him.
Yeah.
Or Slovenia. He's from Slovenia. So it's like, if they come out here and see them for that day, they not here. Like, this is for them to play. This ain't about them, what sneakers they wear or what CarMax they selling or if they selling a Subway Club. That ain't got nothing to do. Ain't nobody talking about the money that the NBA pulling in. They're talking about the actual player that is playing the game that people want to come see, they can't see because they chilling. And the one thing about it, the one of the names that you said, why Steph don't get load management? Steph be playing if he ain't hurt like that. Steph only sits out when he hurt, when he fell on the tailbone or his hand or something. Steph play. KD, out there, KD play. Some of this stuff don't apply to certain people. LeBron be sitting out. Kawhi be sitting out. George be sitting out. It's only certain stars that get this. The other stars, like, they actually ball. Like, the way Steph run around the court, boy, sit out. Like, I would hope for Steph to get a low management day. When last time you see Steph just sit out for rest? Tell me. I'll wait.
Mm-hmm. I know Julius Randle. For all the crap that I give Julius Randle, he doesn't load manage. You know what I mean? He played until he got hurt at the end of the season, right? So, go ahead, Sarah, then we can go move to another one.
Michael Jordan said this, and this is why I brought up their endorsements in this episode. We all sat here and watched The Last Dance, episode 5, where they started talking about his shoe and Nike decided to third. He said this.
Yep.
He said his game did all the talking. If he averaged 2 points a game and was a scrub on the floor, he wouldn't have been able to sign any type of deal. And I brought up what these other stars are doing as a comparison. If they're averaging 2 points a game and ain't worth a damn, you know what I'm saying, they're never going to get an endorsement deal in the first place. They won't be in that position. So you can't low manage and average, you know, what they average and be the face of the league that they are. You know what I'm saying? So, again, I understand what the league is trying to get accomplished. I get it. But I don't like how the rule is laid out and how I expect it to be implemented, you know, when we get to training camp next month.
I mean, I disagree. I love it. I think Mike brings up a great point that it's two stars. Like, you know, you can't have two stars load managed. LeBron can sit out, but Davis can't sit out with him. You know what I mean? And I feel like –
And then, Barry, what is he worried about? He don't even have to worry about it. Houston ain't got no stars.
Well, one of them is about to get
traded
out of there.
We got one dude punching his girlfriend. Don't.
Yo, that's a wild story. That is a wild story. Oh, my God. That's a wild story.
I didn't want to touch it, but serious, you brought it up. Go ahead. Because it's just coming out. He allegedly attacked his girlfriend in New York. She got a fractured neck vertebrae, a cut above her eye, junior. I mean, like, who would want him at this point if this all is all true? Serious, I mean, you brought it up. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah. So, I mean, my position on this is pretty straightforward. I spoke with my homie, you know, Big Black Zach about it just today about it.
Yeah.
And honestly, man, it's frustrating because I do believe that the brother can ball, but there is literally no place for this type of activity to be going on. Now, everything that we are hearing is a legend. He pled not guilty to aggravated assault today.
Right.
And he's going to, you know, do his due process and whatever. So I'm going to refrain, you know, judgment, if you will, until all the facts come out. But the victim's sister took the Instagram and, you know, kind of had some harsh words to Kevin Porter Jr. About it. And again, if he indeed did what he is allegedly have done, throw him through jail. Again, there's no place for that. And I'm disgusted that, you know, somebody on my team will be involved in that type of activity.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was a former NBA player who was dating Carice. I'm going to butcher her last. Sorry, I apologize for butchering her last name. I really apologize. But you're right. You know, the sister took him to task on Instagram. You know, listen, he's innocent until proven guilty. Not like the Jay-Z song, right? Tied guilty until proven innocent off the Dynasty album. Love, such an underrated album that was. I wish they did it a little bit better. But listen, you're right. There's no place for this in the league. And if it's true, man, he's got to answer for it. You know, playing in the NBA is a privilege. You don't get to do it just because you're super talented. If this is true, man, you know, you gotta hold your feet to the fire, man. So I don't know if anybody else wants to speak on this. It's you know, obviously it's a developing story. You know, the plea was put in today. He's out on bond, on bail, I think it is. Yesterday he was released on bail. But TP, Mike, I don't know if you guys want to speak on it really quickly.
I'll say this quickly. I think he's done. I think he's done.
Yeah.
He's in a situation where the rights of a woman are stronger than ever, and that Me Too movement situation is out, so on and so forth. And you just had last year Miles Bridges basically lose his career in the NBA because he beat his girlfriend up. But he beat his girlfriend up. You actually fractured a vertebrae in his girl. They're saying that you tried to break her neck. Like, you tried to? Like, he might face jail time. He might face jail time. I don't think money going to patter him out of this. He's going to be swimming for a little bit until the judge really, like, throw the book at him. And it's sad that his career may halt like this if they, you know, they do their due diligence. And you know that they try to make examples out of people, and all of the shoes fit for him. It's not even like, oh, well, unless she had a weapon, like she had a knife to try to stab him or a gun, and he knocked it out of her hand and was mad. You know, that's, I think that's probably the only thing. If it's like a...
What is that? What is that in the background?
Seriously, are you drumming or something?
Yeah.
My fault. I'm working on my practice pad. My bad. I thought
it was on you.
Damn it, Sirius. So, I don't know what that is. See, that's a Rockets fan. I'm trying to tell y'all. See, Sports City, I'm telling you, they don't hate the sport. They don't hate the teams. They hate me, man. If I'm telling the truth, this is what happens. They start playing drums while I'm talking type stuff. Like, so I get, let me just get this out of the way, man. I feel like the only thing that could save him is if he find out it's a self-defense. Like, if he could do anything or prove that she had any weapon, then it'll be a self-defense matter. Other than that, I think they're going to hit him and make an example out of him. There's a lot of stars that are getting away with situations like these. Like, one, like, and I don't even like wishing, or not even, Lord forgive me, not even saying wishing, but like, somebody that probably should have gotten jail time was Henry Ruggs. Henry Ruggs got 3 to 10 years for a body. Like, he actually killed somebody in Vegas. Like, there, or I remember a decade ago or more, Dante Stallworth got 30 days for a body. Like, we couldn't get away with this type of stuff. So I think they're going to try and make an example out of the situation. He better watch it. He's going to be swimming. Boy, he's going to need a life preserver for real. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, a life preserver, because at the end of the day, not only jail time, but he's going to be lucky if he don't end up going upstate and really having to lay down for a little while. What I really hope, even beyond basketball, is that somehow, even if it be through some therapy, some analysis, whatever, but hopefully they can pinpoint a root of the cause and really work with him as a person. Give a damn what happens on the basketball court from now on. If he's able to ever ball again, great. Like, you know, you had a situation with Marcell Ozuna in Atlanta. His woman didn't want to press charges, and it came out that it was kind of toxic between them two, and he never had anything like that, and then did some anger management, serves and probation, and whatever else. That's not going to happen in this situation. At the end of the day, I just hope whatever caused it, like, I hope that this guy can recover from this and have a good quality of life, period. And I hope it can be figured out. But there's going to be some rough days ahead. Kevin Porter Jr. is going to have some bad days, and he's going to think about this and hear about this even more than he thinks about it, probably. But there's a lot of tough sledding ahead for KP Jr.
Yeah, the Rockets should not be entertaining ideas of trying to trade this kid. I mean, at this point, you got to be responsible and you got to terminate the contract. I mean, you ain't going to get compensation for this. No, nobody would take this on willingly. He's got to earn his way back, and the Rockets going to have to take that. Oh, go ahead, seriously.
Well, the way his contract is set up, because he signed an extension 2 years ago, the Rockets could actually void the remaining years on his deal and not be held accountable for it based off what I saw. So I'm gonna try to find an article and validate them based on what I saw. That's what the state the Rockets are in now. So it's actually, to your point, it's actually a little bit disheartening that the Rockets are trying to shop him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because I don't see a team giving us, you know, a ham sandwich and a tropical, you know, Pringle, you know, Snapple for him. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you make your bed, you lay in it. And, you know, these are the type of decisions that, you know, young men or young women for that matter, you know, who struggle with fill in the blank, I'm not going to assume what it is until I know. But what we do know is that, you know, there are very, 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 very few circumstances where it's acceptable to, you know, put your paws on a female to that degree. You know, I don't want to assume it, and maybe self-defense or whatever it could be, but this is going to get really, really messy. You know, the curtain's going to really, really peel back on his life and the young lady's life. And again, it sucks. It sucks because yeah, I like to do. He can ball, but this is bigger than basketball. And you know, you're gonna have to answer for that.
Yeah, I mean, this kid's got a history, man. You know, he had an arrest in 2020. He found a loaded handgun and marijuana. He claimed that he didn't know anything about the gun. The charges were dropped, right? But then he was suspended, you know, for getting into a spirited debate and losing his temper with his coach, right, in 2022. He's got a history, right, of some incidents. And, you know, the prosecutor or at least the assistant DA in this case has been a history of Porter abusing this woman, Gondrich. I want to say her name correctly. I'm going to figure it out. But there's been a history of abuse, including an incident where he rammed his car into her. So there is, you know, more is going to start coming out. It's going to start trickling in. And I think once the Rockets start figuring out what's going on, to your point, Sirius, let me know if you find that article. But they just got to cut bait because you don't need that. And like I said, it's a privilege to play in this league. And you do anything like this and, you know, bye-bye. You know what I mean? You lose it. You can lose your job anywhere else. The NBA is no different. So, you know, that's what I'm seeing. You know, prayers up for the young lady, you know, that's recovering. You know what I mean? She's physically injured and something happened. So, you know, hopefully she gets into recovery and it's all right. Call in number 929-477-2759. You know, thanks for bringing that up, Sirius. I didn't want to not bring it up, but, you know, we're responsible chefs too. We gotta talk all things sports, right? But one last thing on the NBA. I chat a couple days ago, you know, some NBA players looking to get into the 2024 Paris Olympics. Because after this latest round of FIBA NBA or players in the FIBA tournament, not being able to medal, losing the bronze medal game to Canada. So, you know, past gold medalists, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, are looking to possibly play in the Paris games. I mean, who would want to go to Paris? I've been trying to go to Paris for a couple of years now. But, you know, even Steph Curry, who's – I didn't know, TP – Steph Curry has never played on an Olympic basketball team. That's mind-boggling that he has never been on an Olympic basketball team. He's expressed interest in playing. Steve Kerr is the coach for the 2024 Olympics for the USA team. You know, there's guys that that are eligible that, you know, names are being kicked around, Jason Tatum, Devin Booker, Chris Paul is – He's expressed interest in he's considering another playoff Olympic run. That's what I've heard. So there's a lot of names being floated around. TP, where do we want to go with this, right? Should these guys play? I mean, does it really matter? That, you know, I said it, you know, they only care when USA loses. And then everybody wants to get up off their behind and start playing. So, I mean, what's your take on these players looking to get into the 2024 Paris Olympics?
Barry, you better listen to me. I'm telling you, man. You better listen to me, man. When I brought that discussion up, and that wasn't even with the gang here. This wasn't even a Sports City conversation. This was like our high school chat. Like,
oh yeah, I apologize.
And they didn't want to hear it. They was like, no, we – well, one guy was like, what are we going to do, go get LeBron? Yeah. Started cracking. I'm like, we do have the better players here, like, no matter what you say. So then as soon as I say it, I'm talking – it felt like our phone was tapped. The conversation was being watched. Like 6 hours later, LeBron and them say, yeah, we going. Like, I'm like, what happened? Like how random of a situation that came out of the blue, out of nowhere. But, yeah, I think the one thing about Steph's situation is I think that completes his basketball career. Like, he went to Davidson, so they can bring a national championship there, but he got to the league, had one of the best careers in NBA history, got NBA championships, and he doesn't have a gold medal. I think he's been on probably a world team. I'm not sure if he's been on an actual Olympic team, you know, every 4 years. I don't think he's been on one. But still, yeah, I think this completes everything. And you're right, Barry. You hit the nail on the head. I think once we lose and it's like a country that goes out there and when you like, they got the gold? Like, how? And it's like, nah, let us show what we here for while they all watch the NBA. We don't watch the German basketball league. We know Schroeder's good, but Schroeder was knocked down for a $90 million contract, and he ended up making $9 million in Boston and got passed around for $1 million every year. Like, and he's the MVP. It's like, wait, no. I don't know what's going on. Matter of fact, and Canada just blew our head off, and Shea's the guy, and Dylan Brooks put up 40 on us. No, you crazy. And Dylan Brooks and LeBron got beef. Like, they got beef? Oh, no, that's not – like, that. I'm glad it's a wake-up call. I'm tired of them load managing. This is exactly what we just started the show off of, or load management, and now look at what happens. The product looked like it's taking a stabbing in the back, exactly what's happening. And enough is enough. Now this is going to really get the big names to go out there and play to make your country look better than what you guys are being lazy – yep, I'm saying it. You guys are being lazy about. You guys need to go out there and ball because – Look, let me just take the icon, the one that I love the best, just like the rest of us. Michael Jordan ain't sent out if he had an opportunity to go out there and play. Mike was playing in 84, 88, 92. Like, Mike was balling, like, or somehow, some way. I still remember Mike, the people don't even know it, but if you go on YouTube, you can see Mike breaking the glass his first time in the USA, like, literally dunking on dudes. Like, no, like, that's the funny part about, like, LeBron and, like, how he missed the dunk contest because he just, I guess, it's more or less he don't want to embarrass himself because he don't have a dunk package or whatever. It's like, no, go out there and participate because people want to see you at the end of the day. So this and plus, for right now, LeBron is going to be, what, 39, right? LeBron will be 39 in December. KD right. And right now, Steph is 88. He was born 88. So what? He's 35. KD will be 35 in September. So like this coming year, they'll be 36, 36, 40. Like they noticed their last run at an Olympic medal. You know what I'm saying? And doing something specific because these guys are older now. Shit, LeBron will be 40. So they know that this is the end of their run of a possibility of Olympic tries. So yeah, you guys better get it together because it's looking bad, especially with the product we're putting out there. And they came out and had good prelims, but then they get into the real deal, and you're getting bumped by Serbia and teams we shouldn't be losing to with dudes that's making over $100 million. Like, there's no way. It doesn't make sense. So, yeah, I'm glad that it happened, and I feel like I'm the one that pushed the envelope, and I don't know if they got a phone tap. I'm about to throw this thing in the river.
You know, it's funny. I was listening to J.J. Redick's podcast, and he said exactly what you said, TP. It's like, you know, these international players, they're good in the NBA, but then once they go back, they turn into, like, all-world players. Like, you know, Dennis Schroeder turns into, like, an Olympic god. You know what I mean? Like Evan Fournier, you know, goes back to France, and he's busting people's behind. You know what I mean? Like, these guys that are good in the NBA, they turn into great players when they get in the international game, and It's incredible. Mr. Harvey, Michael, talk to me about these players. I know you don't want Anthony Davis going out there trying to play with the Olympic team. This guy can't even get through his season. I mean, what are we talking about here? But, you know, talk to me about these guys wanting to go play for the USA in 2024. If you're talking, you're on mute. I don't know if he's there.
Yeah, what's up, man?
Are you banging on the bongos or something?
No, I'm on my practice pad doing my paradiddles, you know, double stroke rolls and stuff. But to the question at hand, you know what? I think it's a great thing. You know, I think that, you know, LeBron James and company, you know, having their last, you know, their last dance, if you will, before, you know, they hang him up. It's a great way to kind of put a cap in their career. You know what I'm saying? Steph Curry's never been to an Olympics. He has a world championship, you know, but he hasn't reached the Olympics. You know what I'm saying? And I will say this, as much as we, you know, want to drag this, you know, B and C squad for what they just did, they set the stage for, you know, this USA team to qualify for the Olympics. So they qualified, and now LeBron James is, you know, playing GM and going to get, you know, the NBA Monstars, and good luck. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Like if the guys, you know, who he's talked about, you know, going over there actually are able to stay healthy enough through 82-plus game season next year. Keep in mind, they still got a season to play before we get to, you know, 2024 Olympics next summer. They say they still got a season to play. But if everybody's healthy and is able to go, wow. That's all I'm saying. Wow. You know what I'm saying? Like, to have Steph Curry and Brown and KD and CP3 and, you know, Devin Booker and, you know, Adebayo and Jimmy Butler. I mean, just a list of names that, you know, have been linked to, you know, talking about wanting to play. Again, you know what I'm saying? You poke a bear, sometimes you get bit. And, you know, Germany and Canada and those guys, you know, they beat our junior team, so now we're going to get the big boys. You know what I'm saying? That is what it is.
And I think, I'm sorry, I was on mute a second ago, but I think by doing this, it's going to be late in the summer, too. I think we're talking about August, September Olympics again next year. I don't think it's early, like July, like some of them have been before. And so you get through the season and you get a chance to rest legs before you go to acclimation camp and get ready for this thing. So these guys should be in pretty good shape, almost gearing up for another season versus, you know, they'll still get another little break after, but almost gearing up for another season versus right on the tail end of 100 games or more, depending on what these teams do in the postseason. So I think you're right. I think some of these guys played their best guys. I mean, obviously Joker didn't play, whatever. There were a couple guys, stars internationally, that didn't play. But these guys played a lot of their best guys. We did well enough to qualify, and I think some of the youth, like Anthony Edwards and whatever, got some very valuable experience. But I think now the Olympics mean more than just the world title. And so now you qualify, and then, like you said, you get the big dogs. Now we'll find out if you should stay on the porch or not.
Yeah, it's a commitment, right, guys? Like, you know, you got probably like 2 years out of your life to dedicate to this, you know, in your off season and stuff like that for the USA teams. And I get why people, you know, do or don't want to do it. Jordan did it for a couple of years, but after what, 92, he's like, that's it. I don't have to do it anymore. But, you know, like some guys do it for a year, 1 year, then another year, and then that's it, right? You know what I mean? So, but I look at like Kidd or like Kobe that came back later in their career to come back and play. So I'm not surprised that these guys want to do it. I mean, listen, personally, Anthony Davis, the last thing he should be wanting to play, you should just get through a season, guy. Come on. Just get through a season. But seriously, I think, like I said, it annoys me that it takes a loss. Like, I remember vividly 2004 team, you know, lost and didn't medal. I think they got the bronze medal. I think they did medal. They got the bronze medal. It was like
they lost opening drink to Puerto Rico.
Right. And, you know, but that team had talent, but it was like, it wasn't, the system wasn't really put together yet, right? It was like you had AI, you had Steph Marbury, you had Tim Duncan, but mm-hmm. you had a lot of guys. You know, the system wasn't set up to put these guys in, you know, international game for 2 years, work together, and really build up the international forum for USA. So, you know, and then that came the Redeem team in 2008. So, you know, I'm glad that they want to come back, but it always takes something like this, an embarrassing loss, not meddling, for us to, you know, to get in gear and get the right players and get our best players, because all these other countries are sending their best player, no problem. Everybody loves to represent their country. And for us, it's like, well, I got to make sure my check's right. I got my shoes, and you know what I mean? I'm, you know, it's everything but, you know, it's weird. It's weird here, but the gap is closed internationally. But ain't we got to show it ain't that close, man. Like, listen, the best players in the NBA, you know, out of the top 10, more than half of them are international. No doubt about it. But we got some damn good players, and we still run this thing. So, you know, that's my two cents. I don't know if anybody else has anything else to add, but, you know, I can move on from this. You know, shout out to everybody that wants to play USA Ball. Not Chris Paul. Chris Paul is going to be like 40 when he plays too, right? He tries to play. Crazy. No, we're good. All right. Caller number 929-477-2759. We're here at the Caller's Cookout, the villain, timeless. Mr. Harvey, serious, in the building, talking all things sports. Let's pivot out of basketball. We had a lot of basketball talk today. Let's get a little bit of football while we before we head on out of here. We recapped week one, the week that was. Some of our chefs had wins, some of our chefs didn't. And timeless. If you want to start an argument, go ahead, brother. I don't care. But we can look ahead to week two if you want. We have the Thursday night game coming up. Thursday night game is featuring the Vikings and the Eagles. The Eagles have a couple guys that are popping up on the injured list, right? Including their running back Gainwell, Bradbury, the cornerback, former Giant, and Blankenship. You know, they're all popping up injured. Their eligibility for that game is doubtful against the Vikings. Obviously it's going to be a tough game. The Vikings coming off a surprising loss to the Baker Mayfield-led Tampa Bay Bucks. But, we could talk about this game a little bit, TP. Eagles and Vikings. The Eagles have a chance if these guys, Kenneth Gainwell, James Bradbury, Reed Blankenship, don't play?
First of all, you're going to stop saying like you're Daniel Jones, because you sound like Daniel Jones after getting kicked in the teeth after the Cowboy game, because you're saying left and right. If you guys didn't hear the presser of Daniel Jones after that game, you know, he says 700 times, and I'm not lying, he really sounded confused. Now, back to the situation at hand. Perfection. I'm going to let him out.
I'm trying to turn the page.
I got it. That's a serious laugh. You get crazy. Just because serious laugh don't mean you get to go crazy.
You're the only reason you do that, to get laughs and giggles and get the kicks out of it. So when serious takes it on, I got to get upset.
So what? See what I mean? I told y'all, get into the show. This is the true nature. See, and he cursing. See, look, what's in here? Look, the creep.
Mom was Jordan, and y'all here cursing again, Mom.
Serious. So anyway, back to the situation at hand. This game is very interesting to me because I needed to go two ways. For me personally, I need the Eagles to take out the Vikings because it can make a bigger lead in the NFC North. And plus, how much fool's gold the Vikings can prove to what they did last year compared to now because of all of the one-score wins that they had now. It's like coming to fruition. Is Kirk Cousins really that guy? Do they really depend all on Justin Jefferson, which it really looked like last week? Everything was Justin Jefferson or basically the receivers. They couldn't really get too much done elsewhere, and the defense is still an issue. The one thing I'm thinking about with Philly is who slows Philly down. Philly just went into a harsh environment in Massachusetts and figured out Bill Belichick and got rid of them. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, who in the NFC poses a threat? If the Vikings are, quote-unquote, one of the upper echelon teams in the NFC, then we got to see that happen. You know what I'm saying? So the crazy part is I don't think they could go into Philadelphia on a home opener and stop the Eagles, even if the Eagles are missing pieces. But, you know, I didn't look at the line. If the line is anywhere near, like, 5.5 or higher, I think the Eagles win that game hands down. But if it's like a 3.5, 4.5, that's a scary situation. I feel like Minnesota may be able to steal it. But the performance they put up against Tampa Bay is shaky to me because I feel like they should have, like, full throttle beat the crap out of Baker Mayfield. And Baker Mayfield basically went up in there and you know, went up in their living room and put their feet up on their sofas, man. And, you know, it's horrible that this is what Minnesota's looking like after having a 13-4 season. And I don't feel like they'll sniff that type of record if they don't get it together. And they may come out the gate 0-2 comparison to a Philadelphia team that lost a Super Bowl and they're back on track with everything defensively, and their offense is still a juggernaut. You have to deal with the speed outside and their quarterback. That's the 11th guy that can make plays happen too. So I feel like the Vikings have their hands full.
Yeah, I mean, they lost their first one-score game already. They didn't lose any last year, right? They were 11-0 in one-score game. So, you know, that we knew that was going to flip. We knew that was going to change. And now you see it like, all right, if you're not winning these games, well, what are you? Probably back to, what, a 9-win team? You know, Lions are coming. Packers had a good game against the, you know, well, the Bears. They're a year or two away, like you said. But forward to start 0-2, to your point. Darius, talk to me about this game tomorrow night with the injuries that are starting to mount for the Eagles, who didn't really look that impressive against the Patriots in week one in New England.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? This game's going to come down to a couple of things. You got quarterback play, who I think is going to be significant. You got offensive line issues on the Minnesota Vikings. Their starting center is going to be out tomorrow, so that does not bode well for a defensive front that has Fletcher Cox and Carter and company on it. On the flip side, the Philadelphia Eagles are going to be without their cornerback Bradbury, their one of their running backs, and Gainwell. So I think this is going to be a shootout. I really think it's going to be a shootout. I think the Minnesota Vikings are going to have to score to keep pace. I don't think there's a person on the planet that can check Justin Jefferson. However, this is the Minnesota Vikings defense, so there's not a person on the planet that can check A.J. Brown. So I think both offenses are going to be able to move the ball very, very efficiently. I think the Eagles won it, because I think that it's just a better team, and I trust Jalen Hurts more than I trust Kirk Cousins. But, you know, it's going to be an interesting game, man. I mean, get your popcorn ready, as T.O. was saying, man. It's just going to be fun.
Yeah, I mean, they need to bounce back because, you know, a lot of things that people brought up I kind of agree with, like new offensive and defensive coordinators, right? New players on the defense, some rookies, Jalen Carter, who probably is a front runner for Defensive Rookie of the Year if he, you know, keeps on his trajectory. But, you know, new coordinator, the offense hasn't played much in the first game out. You go against Belichick, who's had, like, months to prepare for you. And he came up with a heck of a game plan to kind of corral that offense that was so high-powered last year. So they got a lot of things to work out and a couple days to do it, right? It's a quick turnaround from Sunday to Thursday to get this offense going. But, you know, I expect some things on it. Mike, Mr. Harvey, if you would like to indulge me, talk to me about this game coming up tomorrow, Thursday night game, that's going to kick off week two, Eagles versus Vikings. Eagles got some injuries. Vikings losing a close one to Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield. Come now.
Yeah.
Talk to me
you
about
know, Mayfield. Mayfield's got some weapons on that offense, right? We talked about that before, at least in the passing game with Godwin and Evans. If he can make some throws, that's a big if. You know, he's shown us for one game before. He looked good in his first start for the Rams. And then, well, he bakered. But, listen, the Eagles have, you still have DeAndre Swift. You still have Boston Scott. You still have Rashad Penny. So if Gainwell's out, even though he looked like he got the lion's share this past weekend, you still have options at the running back position. Bradbury's a little bit tricky when you look at what Minnesota has in the passing game. But, listen, I was impressed with Jalen Carter. I thought he made, you know, a couple plays when, you know, when they needed him. I think that Philly still has enough of a pass rush to really put pressure on Cousins and make life difficult. And at the end of the day, I still think that Jalen Hurts in this offense can make more plays than Minnesota. Would I be shocked if the Vikings won? No, it's the NFL and there's a lot of parity. But I think the Eagles are going to win this football game tomorrow night. And, you know, you mentioned not looking good against the Patriots or not looking great against the Patriots. And I agree that Patriots offense showed a little bit of life in the second quarter. Maybe that defense is going to be a little better. It'll be interesting to see as the season evolves what that looks like.
You know, we'll see. It's going to be fun on Prime Video. Make sure you get your Amazon Prime. It's got a subscription, right, so you can watch the game. Because the only way you can watch it, maybe it's on NFL Network. I'm not sure. I'm not doing their promotion. They can figure it out. But, yeah, listen.
Amazon Prime.
Yeah, I think what I have seen previously is, at least in the last couple of years, sometimes they will play it right after it goes off on Amazon Prime, so it'll replay
right.
on NFL Network if you can avoid, you know, following the social media feeds and you actually want to watch the game around 10 o'clock Central Time, somewhere around there. It does pop up on NFL Network.
Yeah, I mean, I'll watch it. I just hate flipping back and forth from one app back to, you know, to TV. It's kind of crazy because I hate watching commercials. But Eagles, they're laying 6 points. I'll probably take the points. I think I'll lay the points. I'll say the Eagles will cover their spread minus six at home against the Vikings. I just don't, you know, I think the Vikings aren't a bad team. I think their defense is a little bit better than last year, but I just don't see them going into Philly and getting that win. Last year, I think they played the Eagles played the Vikings. They beat them up pretty good. So, you know, that's what I'm thinking.
The Vikings are on the right side of a lot of.
Go ahead, Mike.
Okay. The Vikings are on the right side of a lot of really close games last year, and usually over the next season,
absolutely.
Some of that tends to even itself out.
Absolutely, it's the law of averages. Like I said, you know, they were 11-0 in those games last year. They lost their first one already, so we'll see how it goes. So Timeless, you know, talk to me. Anything you want to put on the grill before we get out of here?
Oh, say can you see? Barry, you better be careful down there in the toaster. Do you hear me? I want you to know to be careful in the toaster if you don't know what I'm talking about, huh? If I tell
no.
you the toaster, you don't know what I'm talking about? Okay. The toaster is where the Cardinals play.
Yeah,
the Cardinals play their home games in the toaster in Arizona. The spread is at 5.5. I think that Vegas may trip people up and get a whole bunch of money out of that game. You guys better be sharp because I know Arizona's going to do everything they can to make that a game, and that could be a game that they can steal because the Giants have to prove up front that offensive line could block. If they're getting beat sound every play like this, that could be alarming. Serious, I feel bad for you right now because I just looked at the line because I was like, I don't know how that game is going to go with the Vikings and the Eagles. The Vikings and Eagles spread is at 6 at this point in time. I feel like the Eagles will take care because it's above 5.5. But the Browns are favored by 2.5 in Pittsburgh.
That's a pick 'em.
In Pittsburgh. In Pittsburgh.
That's a pick.
This is scary. I got it at 2.5. I see the Browns
favored
by 2.5 in
Pittsburgh. You're right.
This is scary because everybody and their mother would be like, Pittsburgh got to come out with a chip on their shoulder and kick the crap out of the Browns. they aren't letting people know that the Browns are here, I'm guessing, especially after them beating the Bengals. This will make you go, like, the Steelers could come out the gate 0-2 and have a slow start like they did last year and hopefully go on a run like they did last year. I don't think they want to repeat that, but this is a scary situation for the Steelers at this point in time. Man, it's on Monday night because they know this rivalry, and the last time that this happened was 2 or 3 years ago when Ben Roethlisberger was there, and they was 12-0, and they went to Cleveland, and everybody thought Pittsburgh was going to take care of Cleveland. Cleveland was up 28-0 in the beginning of the second quarter. So this is alarming. This is something that I'm watching across the board, but there are a lot of interesting games coming up, that's for sure. Hopefully both of your teams, you said half of the kitchen today got wins and half of the teams got losses. Well, you guys, you better hope that your coaches get this, you know, taken care of, because both of you guys got beat by more than 23 points, both of you. So, and at home at that. So those are big, bad losses at the end of the day to come out the gate when everybody was at full strength and knowing people can be on the injury report, so on and so forth. That's something that they got to take care of out the gate. That is something that I do want to address at this point in time.
I'm going to bring it right back to you, TP, because I was going to ask about the Browns, but then I kind of want to just give people free reign to answer this question. Like, week one, who do you think, outside of your teams, you know, who do you guys think had the most impressive victory? And I know it's early, it's only one game, blah, 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 but who do you think had the most impressive victory, TP?
Oh, my God. Impressive wins. I'll do it like this, one by one. I'm impressed with the Raiders going into Denver taking care of business. They, as much as the Broncos were supposed to turn this corner, the Broncos don't feel like they did anything with Sean Payton and Russell Wilson. I feel like there's still some issues, and can the Raiders continue this, but they're going to Buffalo, and I feel like they're going to get the cream knocked out of them because Buffalo just lost, and they're 9-point favorites in Buffalo. But I'm impressed that the Raiders did get out the gate to a win. Secondly, I'm impressed that the Browns beat the Bengals by 3 scores. The Bengals just gave Burrow damn near $300 million, and they got Burrow benched. Forget just Burrow losing. Burrow was put down, sit down like a bad dog. You sit out and you'll come outside. We'll give you your bone some other day. The Chargers, I'm shaking my head. I don't believe that at all. They made people, people of the environment, like a product of the situation at hand, instead of like seeing what it's about. The Chargers are the same Chargers from when they lost to the Texans, or every time they cross the Mississippi River, they lose a game, and then they lose a game to the Dolphins, which the Dolphins have improved, but everybody was scared of the Chargers. The Chargers, that they're still them, and if Eckler's not on that field, I feel like it makes a world of difference too. So the Chargers better get this thing taken care of. I am thoroughly impressed with Tampa Bay. Is Baker for real? Is Baker Mayfield for real? He looked bad all preseason. He looked bad last year. He looked bad every other stop. He just went to the Bucks and went into Minnesota and stole a game. I'm impressed, Baker. Can you keep it rolling? You go home against the Bears, and the Bears are shaky. So if you can start out 2-0, that'll shut me up because I didn't think you guys were going to start out this good. Who else is another team that I – oh, and okay, so here goes the impressive stuff. 49ers went in this Pittsburgh and beat the blood out of some black stuff. I don't know what that black stuff was all over the field, but they left it all over the field. It was all black and traces of yellow stomped all around the field, and there's just one left behind. They said, you tell the people what we did, and the guy's name was TJ, and TJ's like, they didn't do it to me, but the rest of them, they beat the crap out of them, so – TJ had to send the message. But the 49ers went up in there and you did some dismantling. And, of course, what happened in MetLife Sunday night, we all waited for that. And that the world saw it in the dismantling. And the Commanders impressed me. Even though they should have won that game against the Cardinals, like I told you, I had to apologize to Sirius. I told Sirius that he was right. I think the Commanders do have the better team in the NFC East than the Giants, and they could potentially keep this rolling against the Broncos, so we'll see how that pans out too. But those are morally a lot of what I'm impressed with out of the first week game, because there's a lot that, you know, went down out of our first impressions. Well, for myself.
Yeah, a lot of games you went through. I mean, I was impressed with some of those. Darius, who were you impressed by the most week one, coming out of week one?
All right, so I'm going to do it like this. I'm going to give you who I was impressed with and who I was disappointed with, and I'm going to leave the Steelers and Giants out of it.
Okay.
I was most disappointed in the Buffalo Bills.
Okay,
and
yeah.
And not
yeah.
for the simple fact that they, you know, lost the game, you know, because, again, week one, 16 teams are going to lose. But if Aaron Rodgers gets knocked out after four plays, and you still lose that game in the manner in which you did, I'm disappointed. Now, again, I can very easily say anybody else, but that Buffalo Bills thing had me scratching my head. Team I was most impressed with, honestly, even in a loss, was the New England Patriots.
Mm.
I was impressed with what they did. They found a receiver in Kendrick Bourne. It looks like, you know, Matt Jones, you know, has complete command of the offense after the first quarter. You know, keep in mind that the Philadelphia Eagles jumped out to a 16-0 lead in that ball game. And they had to literally hang on for dear life at the end because they figured it out. You know what I'm saying? Matt Jones was spreading the ball around. They were able to do what they wanted. So I was very, very impressed, even in a loss, with what I saw out of, you know, the New England Patriots. They had something to build on that's positive. So I go that route because I'm sure, you know, the other, you know, the other guys here in the middle want to talk about the other ones.
Exactly. Michael, Mr. Harvey, who were you impressed with? And you can give me a team that you weren't impressed with either that was unimpressive.
So, I mean, obviously San Francisco and Dallas, but I was impressed with the Green Bay Packers and that, listen, Jordan Love threw the ball okay. He was even missing Christian Watson. If Jordan Love gets this figured out, this Green Bay team does have some other weapons. We'll see. I think I'm not saying that they're going to contend for a division title or anything, but I think they can be better than expected in the NFC North. But as far as just an opening act, and then in a loss, I was impressed with some of the life that I saw from the Patriots, even though they did not really pull that out. And then, as I said last night, I'm impressed with the Detroit Lions. I don't care what the circumstances are, who played, who didn't play. They can't control that. At the end of the day, they went in, they beat the Super Bowl champs on ring night on their home field. And started the season 1-0 and got a win that can really jumpstart this team to a special season. So those two teams in the NFC North really impressed me. And then I'll come back and say the Jets, man. Like he goes, your quarterback goes out. Zach Wilson looked a little bit lost early, but still completed 67% of his passes. And it took a punt return, it took a bunch of turnovers, and a lot of things had to happen. But this team didn't fold, and they beat a team that we expect to be a very, very good football team. Now, unimpressed, and you guys just mentioned this a second ago, I don't care about the rain, all that kind of stuff. I understand that conditions weren't ideal or whatever. But I was not impressed with the Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Burrow. Now, I think by the end of the year, I think his numbers are going to be good, and I think he's going to do well. He didn't impress me week one last year either against Pittsburgh. But I will say, you know, we talk about the window closing and the window being only open for a certain amount of time because of how much we have roster turnover. And we talk about that being the case in Buffalo. But it's also coming up in Cincinnati. You just pay Burrow, what do you say, like $300 million or whatever, and now you got to figure out, you got to figure out Higgins, and you got to figure out Chase over the next couple years. I mean, I don't believe that cap-wise and whatever, they're going to be able to keep these guys long-term, and if they do, they're going to have to kick the can down the road. And so it's going to be tricky roster management. especially as they're trying to continue to improve their offensive line and continue to make tweaks every year on that defense. But the Bengals are hitting that spot where this is their best opportunities, and then it's going to have to be remade a little bit in order to mount another run. You got your franchise piece and your guy that can be a legitimate quarterback for a long time if he stays healthy. But, you know, the time is now for Cincinnati, much like it is for Buffalo. I just think that right now the Cincinnati team is better and a little bit more equipped and more likely to do it, but they sure didn't show it in week one.
Yeah, I mean, that was on both sides, right? Impressed and unimpressed. Go ahead, TP. Go ahead, bro.
I'm going to challenge something Mike said.
Okay.
The reason why I didn't say anything about that Packers-Bears game is don't get caught up in the hype of what you see in that score and what happened. First off, as much as I want to give credit to everybody preseason on how they tried to claim the situation, they tried to claim Justin Fields an MVP candidate. They oversold that. He's not ready yet. He's not yet ready yet,
right,
unless he finds his footing and gets that offense moving. And then secondly, it's the Bears. It's the Bears. Like, the Packers won that game big. Do y'all really know, okay, Jordan Love did enough to manage the game. His leading receiver, do you know who his leading receiver was in that game? Aaron Jones. You know what I mean? Y'all
me
had receiver? Aaron Jones. No, Aaron Jones led the team in receiving yards and rushing. Look, Aaron Jones finished the game with less than 90 yards receiving and led that team in receiving yards. So Jordan Love didn't kill it. He didn't kill it. And Aaron Jones led that team in rushing, and he got knocked out of the game. Aaron Jones did not finish. So that's letting you know how bad the Bears is. If they couldn't stop Jordan Love, that wasn't completing a whole bunch of passes, that's just how bad the Bears really are. And they couldn't even get, like, Cody Kmet and them the ball, and that's a security blanket. It says a lot to Justin Fields didn't really turn the leaf. He just – supremely athletic at the quarterback position. Once he starts completing passes and learns that it's not just about him being able to elude pressure, then I think that's when he's going to be dangerous. But right now, I think he's still that run-first quarterback, and the Bears still have their issues. Even if Eberflus is back there at the coaching position and making it look like it's a new face, the Bears are still a questionable team. I don't really want to call them back because they always play the Lions tough. Just because of the division rivalry, they play us tough, but everybody else has been taking it. You got to think, they were the worst team in the NFL last year. It didn't change. It's not going to change overnight, and that's exactly what it looked like. The Packers still have their issues. Like, and still yet, even in that game, the Packers gave up 20 points to a bad team. So they serious foul. They could miss me with that one. I feel like that's a quick one that the Packers got away with, and everybody's oversold on it. The Packers are going to have to prove it this week against the Falcons. I'm not impressed because somebody had to wake me up. I had to watch people break that down. It was like the Bears really got a lot of people higher on what the Packers did to them this week. And then once I started hearing the stats across the line, I was like, wait, it was that bad? It was that bad. If you want to, go look at the box score stats of what Green Bay did. You will not be impressed by anything Jordan Love did. The receiving core, Watson was out, everything happened to the Bears. The Bears are just a bad team. It's still from last year.
Yeah, the Bears are, I said they're a year away, if not two. I think they got their quarterback, but I think they need to build the pieces around them. But I kind of push back on a little bit. I was impressed with Jordan Love, his first game out, replacing, you know, Aaron Rodgers, all that scrutiny that came behind him. I think he played not a great game, but I think he played a good enough game. And you know, it's a different offense, right? You know, Rodgers has his favorites. Jordan Love was spreading the ball around, getting guys involved, and running the offense that Matt LaFleur actually put out there. So, I mean, I agree with you. It wasn't impressive. But, you know, Green Bay owns the Bears. They've owned them for years. It doesn't matter who's quarterback, and they own the Bears. What do you say, Mike?
I think one of the key things for Green Bay, and I'll definitely go back and look, because I saw a score and I saw a few highlights. So I'll definitely go back and look. And that's why I mentioned them last in my teams. But the one thing that I think is going to be key for Green Bay, if they're going to accomplish anything, I think Watson will be back. But Romeo Doubs or Dubs or whatever his name, however you pronounce it, he's got to take a step forward as a receiver this year for that team. And he showed some flashes this past weekend, a little bit more than he showed last year. But to me, he's a key component that has to show growth this season for Green Bay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, I agree, and you know, the Packers, they still do have a good defense. To TP's point, they did give up 20 to the Bears, but that was a top defense 2 years ago. Last year, that defense was non-existent. So, if Jamie Alexander and company can get it together, you know, they might have something. We'll see. But I mean, I'll close the shot. I was impressed with the Los Angeles Rams, right? Going into Seattle and beating up a good Seattle football team, putting up, you know, 30 some odd points on them. Matt Stafford gets a lot of criticism, a lot of heat, you know, thrown his way. Cooper Kupp, late scratch, screwing up my fantasy team. Thanks a lot. And they still found a way to really kind of dominate that game. He threw for over yards. The offense looked crisp. The defense, you know, looked pretty good. Aaron Donald's still a beast. Like, that guy is just a beast. But I was impressed with them. And, you know, obviously I was impressed with, you know, some of the other teams that won. You know, the Cowboys and the Niners, obviously. But, you know, I was impressed with the Browns taking care of business, even though it was a rain-soaked game. You know, I didn't think they would, you know, hold that offense to 3 points, even though it was in the rain. So it was impressed with them. I was unimpressed, like you guys said, with the Bengals. Like I said, only scoring 3 points. Burrow just looked lost. It's going to take some time for him to kind of get into the game flow, you know, with that calf injury. You know, I was impressed with the Lions too, in you know, what they did, but I was just unimpressed with the Bengals, unimpressed with the Vikings, and I'll probably put the Broncos in that mix too at home with a really good defense. You know, just didn't put it together against the Raiders team. So that's what I had. And then lastly, unimpressed with Kadarius Toney. I had to throw it out there because, you know, he dropped – I just heard he dropped another pass. So that guy taking the Twitter to troll Giants. This clown. That's why he's not in New York. Guy's a clown. But, yeah. Anything else before we get out of here, TP? Anything you want to throw on the grill?
It's going to be interesting that these guys are fighting back and forth with Kadarius Toney. Tony's in a better situation than the Giants are at this point in time. And it was like that's right. All he needed for him to have a bad game. And then the Giants have an even worse situation out there at home. And it was like it saved him because he was like the one with egg and mud all over his face. And as soon as that happened, it was like, well, I could clear my name and start picking on them. And everybody looked at him like, well, you ain't got too much room to talk about. But he's like, yeah, at least I got a ring out of the deal and I'm in Kansas City. So it's like it's going to be messy all year long. If Kansas City lose a game because of him, all of the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area are going to throttle him. And as soon as the Giants lose, he gets to pick on an entire section of the United States. So it's like this is going to be very interesting. And he just got back off injury, to be fair to him, like somewhat. But he shouldn't be dropping passes because that's what he's getting paid for, to make those catches. And the Giants and all of the fans that are picking on him, like, y'all really got to put y'all gun down. Put the gun down and like, let him – be the fool. Let him be the fool, because if you keep going back and forth and you guys don't have a good team or good product to put out there on the field, you don't have no room to talk. You cannot throw stones if you live in a glass house, and that's what the Giants look like right now, especially the way that Dallas went into that glass house and had a bull in a china shop and axes and bats and doggone ruthless people. Like, that's what it felt like. Like, there was no security, no cops, like, no rules. That's what Dallas looked like when they walked through New Jersey. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre. That's exactly what it was. So they better chill, man, because I know karma comes back at you hard.
But I flip it around, though, TP, because it's not like the Giants are doing it. The Giants fans are doing it, right? Not me. I could care less about this kid. I'm just glad when they traded him away because he was a pain in the ass when he was here. And that's why he wasn't going to fit in Dable's system. He didn't want to show up to practice in off-season OTAs, and they couldn't wait to get rid of him because he was a jerk. But you went to a better situation in Kansas City. You got your ring. That was the end of it. You won at that point. Like, you got traded for a bag of chips. You went to Kansas City, and you got a chip. Like, you could have left it at that, but he kept trolling. And then, you know, when Giants fans clapped back on him after his crappy game against the Lions, he deletes his Twitter account. like a clown, right? Okay, you delete it. You want to get off social media, fine. You want to take the high road. But as soon as the Giants got their behind kicked by the Cowboys, you're on Instagram that you didn't deactivate Twitter because you couldn't take the heat. You go on Instagram and you start posting stuff. You start posting the pictures about the Giants getting beat to troll Giants fans. Like, dude, leave the Giants fans alone. You had the high road. You had the championship. You had everything you needed, and you want to go back at fans who you don't even know. Like, why would you care about Giants fans? Who cares, right? Like, that's what kills me. Like, it's a sucker move because you're trying to get at Giants fans after the Cowboys beat them up, but you're really embarrassing the guys that you used to play with. You're embarrassing Saquon Barkley. You're embarrassing, you know, Brian Daboll. You're embarrassing that whole organization. Like, you know, dudes remember that. You know, they remember that stuff when you try to, you know, embarrass them like that. You think you're so young and stupid. You're trying to go after Giants fans, and you're like really embarrassing the people you used to play with. Like, dudes don't forget that. That's why I got pissed at him, because it's like you had the high road and you just proved why we traded you away, because you're a clown. You know what I mean? I mean, if you want to answer it back, go ahead, TP.
I mean, right, because like two situations. If the Giants felt good about the situation and letting them go, don't get embarrassed. Mm-hmm. You guys got embarrassed. Like, that's just extra. Like, that's like them kicking the man while he's down. Well, the Giants are down. He got to kick him. Point blank, period. Like, they were kicking him on the day that he was dropping the ball going crazy. Like, that. Like I said, this is going to be an evil cycle.
The Giants fans.
The fan, however that means. Went, I don't pay attention to the Twitter stuff.
Fans.
Like,
it was
just
knowing
that I heard so much about it, like, these guys are going back and forth, and I'm watching so many different video posts of Giants fans talk about Kadarius Toney after the game, mm-hmm. but before the Giants Cowboys game, like you should have seen they were dismantling them. So it's like, shoot, they coming at me, and the next thing you know, they lose one. I'm gonna just sit there. And knowing that he gets to just try to feel better somehow, like, unless I'm going to sit up here and just be like, I'm going to prove to myself that I could be better, so on and so forth, which he should. He should be like that. But at the end of the day, like, let me just clear the air that I did help Kansas City win the Super Bowl. He was a big piece of that Super Bowl game. So it ain't like you can totally just pick on him. And for everything that happened to the Giants in the past days with Daboll and Saquon and all of them, Saquon's going to get killed if they don't turn this thing around. Because they keep still trying to force feed Saquon, because Saquon is the savior, but they gave him $11 million. That's the thing. That's hilarious. And Daboll can't make Daniel Jones, what the freak is his name, Josh Allen. He's not Josh Allen. He can't do that. And that's what that offense is trying to make that offense look like Josh Allen, and it can't. And these are the intricacies of what the Giants are going through at this point in time, and still how they try to pin the tail on the donkey to Gettleman. Nothing changed. The new GM didn't change nothing in New York either. So whether it's Gettleman or the new GM there now, the Giants still have their freaking issues of trades they shouldn't have made, front line that can't block nothing. Like, this is an ugly situation in East Rutherford, New Jersey.
But we're talking about two different things, right? You're talking about the Giants team. I'm talking about Toney being a clown.
But
you know
he
what
was
I mean?
From
like,
there. This is management. Management got rid of him.
That's the point. You're gone from there. What do you care about what the Giants are doing? Like, does Aaron Rodgers tweet about the Packers? He goes out there and says it was a great organization. I love my time
Rodgers
there.
I wish Rodgers got a history of talking junk about that organization. Rodgers got a history of talking junk about the Packers.
No. I mean, after he left. When he got traded to the Jets, did you hear him say anything disparaging about Jordan Love or the Packers organization or Matt LaFleur or anything like that?
Well, not yet. No, not yet.
That's what I mean.
But
so
now he's
why
torn up,
or
he can't say nothing.
Huh?
Let's be looking at a super. We look at a Hall of Fame quarterback compared to a slot receiver. Like,
we could say that about any
young
guy that leaves an organization. But we can say that about any guy that got traded away from an organization. They don't go back at that team, right? Toney's a kid. He's a young kid that doesn't get it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Jared Goff didn't say anything bad about the Rams when they traded him away for, you know what I mean? Like, you don't understand what I'm saying? Like, TP, like, that's what I mean. Like, you got traded away from the Giants because of your poor attitude. You didn't want to conform to what the Giants and the new organization wanted. You wanted to sit out and camp. I'm telling you everything that happened, right? He wanted to sit out of camp. He didn't want to come to practice or in the OTAs. And you know, Dable had a new sheriff in town. He didn't want to conform to that. Eventually, they traded him out of town. And, like, you got traded away, and you went to Kansas City, and you got a ring out of it. You won. Why go clapping back at a Giants organization? Why? The Giants didn't say anything about you. It's the fans. The fans are stupid. Fans are stupid. You know, they'll say anything. You know
Wait,
what I mean? Any fan, because any fan that goes out of their way to tweet and reply, like, why would you? Why would you care?
What specific fans are you talking about? What specific fans are you talking about?
Any fan.
But at this moment, which fans are you talking about are stupid at this point?
Any fan. I just told you. Any fan. Like, why?
Are you talking about Giants fans? Are you talking about Giants fans?
I'm talking about any fan that has the time to go after a player that they don't know. They don't know these people. Like, it's like Kevin Durant with the burner account. It's the same thing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
why would you waste your energy going after a fan to make – for what? You're NBA player. You got millions of dollars. What do you care about some random guy that you don't even know, that doesn't know you? You know what I mean? Like, why would Kadarius Toney feel the need to go after Giants fans and tweet? Why? Because they hurt your feelings? Because they talk junk about you? That's what they do. They're haters. You know what I mean? They're fans.
Mm,
that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
They're pathetic. You know what I'm saying? So you couldn't take the heat after the Kansas City Lions game when Giants fans who – you know, most of them just couldn't wait for you to fail. That's what haters do. They can't wait for you to fail so they can make themselves feel better, right? So as soon as they came after you, you deleted your Twitter account. And then a couple days later, when the Giants get their behinds kicked in, you're back on Instagram. Feel better? Maybe. But then that's a personal problem that we got to talk about. And if I'm Andy Reid, I'm pulling him aside, like, don't do this crap again. It's not needed. You need to take the high road. Like, that's what a smart person does. You know what I mean? And clearly that's not Kadarius Toney.
Obviously, I just heard him call Giants fans stupid, so this is great. I love that. This is beautiful.
No, I didn't call – I called all fans. Stupid.
Y'all heard
Every
what I heard.
Fan.
Y'all heard what I heard. Y'all heard. You want to talk about Saints fans. You damn sure want to talk about the Lions fans. The subject at hand is the New York Giants fans and Kadarius Toney. And somebody just said that they're stupid. Okay? So I get it. It's okay. It's all right. Life is harsh on me.
There is a set of fans in every fan base that they take nothing but pleasure in trying to make a star's life miserable. That's what they do. And you fell for it. Like, you fell for it. You went to Instagram to tweet back at him. The Giants fell for it, too. Fell for what? What do they
He's
care? Do you know the specific fan that fell for it? Do you know his name?
Oh no, I told you I don't follow that Twitter stuff.
That's what I mean. You don't know the person. You don't know
who
the person was. Exactly.
No.
That's the point. But everybody knows who Toney is. You know?
Really?
You don't get it. Like, so you condone what Toney did? I'm just asking.
And there's a song by Christopher Wallace, a.k.a. the Notorious B.I.G. The name of the song is What's Beef? And the song starts off with a few little bit of words, and it goes,
So you can condone what Tony did. So, all right. Well, Tony, in my opinion, Tony's a clown. He's a clown, and he looks like a clown. It's a sucker move, and you know, listen, he's got to answer for it at some point.
Tony's mad. It don't matter how it looks. Tony's mad, and the guys are mad. Everybody mad. Y'all all mad.
Why am I mad?
Why are you mad? 40-0 is mad. Listen, on opening week, if you think the Lions lose 40-0 and I'm not mad, somebody come check on me, bro.
Of course I'm mad. I can move on. It was an embarrassing loss, but I can move on from it too. I'm not. You know what I mean? I'm not going to sit here and cry. But I got things to worry about.
No, I know you can move on. He can move on too. I just said all of y'all are mad. All parties are mad. You trying to dodge that bullet, boy? You shot. But listen. All parties are mad.
You're trying to bring it full circle about, you know, Daniel Jones and Saquon only got $11 million and they didn't rebuild. Get him in with the full, you know.
I've been telling you this since summertime. We've been telling you this since summertime. Serious, am I lying?
Tell me what?
Everything that you just said. Saquon being disrespected, Daniel Jones ain't the dude for the job. The Giants still got their issues.
Oh, my God. When the Giants win, keep that energy.
Okay, and they're going to beat Arizona. You're going to be hyped because they beat the Cardinals? Miss me with that one.
Dude, what is a win? You hyped the Lions won a game. Why can't I get hyped when the Giants win a game?
Listen, I ain't even talking about that. Listen, you said, I'm supposed to be angry.
You want me to be the angry villain and be mad all day, all the time, win, lose, or draw. You want me to be mad. That's what you want. I don't want you to hate me.
You said you hate me already. So I try to pull the love out you. You know what I'm saying?
You mad about so many different things.
I'm trying my best to help y'all, man. Listen, you want to know what they call him in my clique that I grew up with? They call him Care Bear. They call him Care Bear. They try to pull the love out this dude. You know what I'm saying? That's the fact.
We had a breakthrough. We spent a lot of this show having a breakthrough, and then you're going to say that I hate you? Come on. That's not nice. Come on.
Serious, the whole thing. Like, you hang on to one word he said. That's some, like, narcissistic, you know, gaslight type stuff. Like, he said a whole sentence and you hanging on to one word. Yeah, dog.
Who, me?
Man, dog, come on, man. Yeah, you.
He throws that quick jab, and I'm not. Okay. Sports City, we got to get out of here. We got to end the show. We don't have much time left. Mr. Harvey, give me a 2-second close. Don't give me an hour close out. Give me a quick plug because we got to be done.
All right, from the narcissist. Cocoa Golf, Black Girl Magic. We'll talk about it tomorrow on Roundtable Gumbo. Check out our shows. Much love, Sports City. Laissez les bon temps rouler. Peace.
Thank you. Serious, get us out of here.
Yo, your boy says up in that 412 and the 703. I'm going to say this before I get out of here. Prayers up for Max Scherzer, man. Prayers up for Max Scherzer, one of my favorite pitchers. You know, going to be down for the rest of the season. He may not pitch the postseason due to some arm injury for the Texas Rangers. So with that being said, catch you guys on the next one. Peace.
Believe that guy. Wow, another injury he's done for the season. Thanks, guys. PHI Apparel, thanks for sponsoring the show. Get to the website, sportscitychefs.com. Got the gumbo tomorrow, the Timeless Brunch Sunday. Make sure you listen to that. TP, you know what to do. Don't say I hate you. I love you. Get us out of here.
Barry said, and I quote from the album, Jay-Z's Dynasty album, he says, stop the heart of dudes that's acting too suspicious. This is food for thought. I hope y'all could do these dishes. That's where I got that line from. And I say that in here every single chance I get. Sports City, they can't take the heat. They need to get up out of this kitchen. I told you I was coming for him, and I had every last piece of kitchen spoon, knife, machete. I'm not playing around. I ain't done. It's not done. For my pick for tomorrow, I'm picking Philly, because I am a Beanie Siegel fan for real, but I need them to knock off the Vikings. That's personal. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chef again, and if they don't know, now they know.
Kaboom, Sports City chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, bloom like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City, chef, yeah.
Cabin, Todd,
Connecticut.